You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Now I know what state I'm in. We'll have a better show. Welcome to the show this morning. This is the program where we talk about some of the topics that the Catholic Conference is addressing at the state capitol in Springfield, and from time to time we touch on some other issues as well, national issues. And in this morning's show, we're going to talk about a couple different issues for people who have been following the current events out of Springfield. They would know that this is likely to be the last week to 10 days of the legislative session. Actually, the General Assembly did go back late last night. They are in Springfield and preparing for the final approximate 10 days of the legislative session. So there are a lot of issues that are still pending before the General Assembly, before they adjourn on the 31st. Some of those include, we've been hearing about redrawing the lines of the map that proscribe the legislative boundaries, the districts, for the upcoming election cycle. Every 10 years that's done, and that's always a subject of a lot of controversy in terms of how they draw the map and where they draw the lines and who gets included in and who gets left out of certain geographic areas. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. We're also dealing with a very grave budget situation in the state of Illinois that is not news in terms of how we balance our revenues and our expenditures every year. As we know in Illinois, we seem to have a problem with that as the increasing demands of government are facing legislators, yet there's not the adequate revenues to provide for those needs. So that's always a source of debate and controversy that we'll touch on a little bit as well. I think what we want to do today for the bulk of our program, though, is talk about some issues that I think we've talked about on these airwaves before, and those are issues that stem from the passage of legislation concerning civil unions in Illinois that the legislature passed back in the lame duck session in November, and that's really causing some problems and concerns for faith-based organizations. And I've been saying this in various forums in the last couple weeks and couple months, that I don't think people really understand the full impact of legislation such as this when individuals are afforded a right in law that affects how organizations, specifically religious organizations, function. It's been in the press lately. It's been in the media, and we've tried to gather some attention to our plight. And it pretty much comes in two areas. Number one is simply foster care and adoption issues, which is the placement of children in same-sex households. And because Catholic Charities operates child welfare programs and foster care and adoption programs, and the law says now that same-sex couples are treated the same as other couples, that creates a dilemma. And the other challenge for us is in the area of employment and benefits that should be granted or not granted to individuals that the church feels is not living in a suitable relationship. So we're going to talk about that issue, and we're also going to talk a little bit about this is kind of an interesting topic as well. It's called the DREAM Act, and some people may realize, they may remember the DREAM Act from conversations that were pending in Washington back in, I believe it was in November, when Congress was debating the DREAM Act. And there is also an Illinois DREAM Act that's being debated in Springfield, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and some other subjects, how we're faring on our textbook loan program, and we should probably touch also a little bit on how the legislature decided or did not decide to do anything with the Ultrasound Opportunity Act. So with that said, it's a little bit coming up on 5 minutes after nine on a somewhat overcast but yet warmer day than we've had lately, and we should mention our hearts and prayers prayers go out to the people of Missouri. I was listening to the radio coming in, and it seems like there was a fairly devastating tornado out in Missouri. And so we hope that that weather system doesn't come here. And hopefully our hearts and prayers go out to the people in the Joplin area. With that said, let's bring in now our guest for the program. We're going to be talking to Mary Lou Garvaccio, who's with the Catholic Conference, and actually she is not in Springfield today. She's back up here in Chicago, but we'll all be going down to Springfield fairly soon here. Mary Lou, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mary Lou, I was talking at the outset of the introduction a little bit. I want to talk a little bit today about some of the issues that were contained in Senate Bill 1123, and you know, some of the problems that we're having with that bill as a result of it seemingly is not going to pass. First of all, Mary Lou, let's take a step back and talk about a little bit about the civil unions law, and as I was saying at the outset, some of the challenges that it has to us in the area of foster care. Well, I mean, what is the problem for Catholic Charities agencies when it comes to civil unions?
Well, the problem is the civil unions law, it basically provides civil union couples all the rights, privileges, and benefits as married couples currently have in Illinois. And currently in Illinois, under the rules of the Department of Children and Family Services, married couples are eligible to become foster parents. Our understanding, obviously, is with the change of the law, that civil unions would be eligible to become foster parents, and thus any child welfare agency would have to then license those, process applications to license those couples. And obviously, our church does not recognize civil union couples as a marriage. That's not a marriage, and we could not do that. So that's the problem we're facing, that we would not be able to process applications for those civil union couples.
This is an interesting topic, and if you want to weigh in or ask a question to either Mary Lou or myself, I'll provide the phone number a number of different times this morning. The number to call in is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. Mary Lou, I know that... I want to talk a little bit about the objections of the American Civil Liberties Union and Lambda Legal, because that seems to be the main opponent of our effort to continue our practices of placing children with married couples or single individuals. I think, in essence, what they're arguing, and this is going to be a big topic for the future, which talks about the state, when it contracts with an entity, there's certain, if you take public money, there are strings tied to it. And I mean, go into a little more detail about what the difficulty of dealing with that is.
Right. Well, what the ACLU has been arguing, saying, is that because any private entity, whether they're religious or not, if they're taking public funds, they, in a sense, would be, what they're arguing is that they are acting in the place of the state by providing certain services like foster care. And because of that, then the state, them as the state, should not be discriminating against couples, such as civil union couples. And so that is the argument that we're facing, that they're saying that because Catholic Charities and other religious groups are taking public funding, they cannot discriminate in the sense of not processing applications for civil union couples.
And is there any, one of the things that's been discussed is federal law. Is there any protection with First Amendment rights, as you understand it, that would allow religious organizations to continue taking public money, yet run counter to the secular law?
You know, I believe there are things that do protect us. Obviously, as you mentioned, the First Amendment provides religious liberties, and obviously this is a religious belief that we and some other religions share. And I think there can be argument that trying to get an exemption from this would protect our religious liberties. In terms of the argument about, you know, the private entities acting as a state, you know, Catholic Charities and some other entities, they've been doing foster care even before DCFS was created. So it's not necessarily, it has not always been a state you know, a state duty or a state function to provide foster care. And really what the way the system is set up in Illinois is that the state is purchasing services from entities, and that's a little different under the law. It's not necessarily considered, it can be argued that it's not a duty, a state duty that these entities are doing, but more it's a service they're providing. And in that sense, there might be a little leeway on whether or not that's necessarily considered discrimination under the law.
It's an interesting topic, and it's something that I think we're going to be experiencing in the next couple of years as the secular law runs counter to the natural law definition of marriage and family. And it's going to be the subject of much legal discussions. This is Bob Gilligan. Please stick around for the next segment of our show. We're going to continue talking about this topic. The number is 312-255-8408. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in the service of our country and for all those we wish to honor in a special way. Begin your observance of Memorial Day by attending one of the field masses being celebrated at most of the 44 Catholic cemeteries in Cook and Lake counties. For times and locations of these field masses, go to www.catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Celebrate your memories at a Catholic cemetery's field mass.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Mary Lou Garaccio, who is with the Catholic Conference. We're talking about our dilemma that we are facing as we continue to desire to contract with the state of Illinois for the provision of certain services such as foster care and adoption. Yet the enactment of the civil unions law is creating some dilemmas for that ability to continue along those lines. And we're mentioning a little bit about some of the law and the practices. Mary Lou, I think it's important. Maybe we should take a step back and explain. There are six dioceses in Illinois. Not every diocese does these services anymore, correct?
Correct, that's right. All the six dioceses except for Chicago, Chicago no longer has foster care services.
And there's five other dioceses in the state that continue to do these. And give listeners a sense of the value of those services in terms of the proportion of children and faith being served by faith-based organizations as opposed to other organizations.
Sure. The other five dioceses currently they serve about 20% of the foster care population, the children in the foster care system, and I think that equates to about 3,000 children or so, or somewhere around that. And you know, our Catholic charities, all five of them, have been ranked by objective state standards year after year at the very top of all the private agencies. So they do bring the expertise and the experience and the quality services that have been ranked at the top. And then obviously, because of our faith, we bring that aspect to these services, the faith in caring for these very vulnerable children.
So we have a concern with the adoption of foster care programs, as we've just outlined, in terms of our ability to continue contracting for those services. And I think what we're all looking at is the clock. The bill's effective on June 1st. New contracts will go out July 1st. Okay. And I would assume it's an open-ended question as to what happens after that. What happens after July 1st?
Well, after July 1st, the Catholic Charities will be under a new contract. We're not sure what, rules are going to be in place at that time. Are the rules going to be changed? Are the contracts going to say something, that'll be different than the old contracts that'll, affect the services, the way the entities deliver services? So it's really an open-ended question. We obviously are arguing that under the current law, we have these protections, religious liberty protections, that should enable us to refer union couples to other agencies. But I think after July 1st, what we're facing are possible lawsuits, because it is kind of an open-ended question, and we do not have any legislation that addresses the issue.
How would a lawsuit unfold? I mean, what would happen?
If a civil union couple would go to one or more of the Catholic Charities agencies, and if they were turned away, they would then bring a lawsuit saying that they are being discriminated against under this, because there is the civil unions law now. So once that suit is filed, the Catholic Charities agency, or if it has been filed, if there are other cases pending, there'd be numerous lawsuits possibly that these Catholic charities are having to deal with, possibly, soon after the civil union law passes. So it's going to be a very big issue for these agencies to deal with. If they have to address these lawsuits, can be very expensive and will take their time away of what they should be doing, which is serving the poor and vulnerable.
The number is 312-255-8408. If you have questions for either Mary Lou or myself about the status of foster care and adoption in this changing political climate. Mary Lou, I think it's important to note that, it seems like most of the focus is on Catholic Charities agencies. But that's not, we're not alone in this.
No, that's right. There are other religious agencies that share the same belief as we do. I believe the evangelicals, the particular agency is the Evangelical Child and Family Agency. Mm-hmm. And then the Lutheran Child and Family Services, which is part of the Missouri Synod Lutherans. They also share the same beliefs, so they would be faced with the same issues as our Catholic Charities would.
Yeah, and they comprise some additional cases as well, in addition to our 3,000.
Exactly.
That's an unfortunate situation in terms of what those agencies face, because we're quickly coming to a situation such as it's your conscience or. How far can you go in honoring these commitments that you're making with the state of Illinois? And that's never a comfortable position to be in. Illinois is not the first state, though, to face this, civil union, same-sex marriage. What do other states do?
In other states, in some of the other states where this has happened, unfortunately, some of the, particularly with the Catholic Charities agencies, they've had to withdraw from providing foster care and adoption through the state because of the requirements that have been placed on them, whether it's been a civil union law or more often when it's been a law that providing for same-sex marriage, because there have been no exemptions in those areas. Some of those agencies have had to withdraw from providing services.
So pretty soon in Illinois and other states, we could be left with a situation where there'll be secular providers, there will be faith-based providers, but not faith-based providers that believe that children should be should only be placed with a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, in the overall scheme of things, I would say, an adverse development in terms of what the state can offer to these children. I think most people are have to recognize are, you know, they've been either physically abused, emotionally abused, et cetera. And to take that option off the table for children is really unfortunate.
It is, absolutely. And really, you know, the legislation that we were pursuing this spring,
right.
it was a simple process where it would just enable these religious agencies to just make a referral back to the state when a civil union couple came to them.
Right.
And it really comes just down to that. And unfortunately, because that was not accepted, at least right now, you know, we could be facing with 3,000 plus children kind of in turmoil because we're not sure what's going to happen and whether our agencies and the other faith-based agencies will be able to continue.
Stay tuned for further developments on this. We're going to take another quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about employment situation and an employment dilemma that we have. The number is 312-255-8408. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800. Or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800. Or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Mary Lou Gervaccio about the impact that the civil unions law is going to have on adoption of foster care, and we're going to talk a little bit about the impact that that's going to have on our healthcare benefits for employees as well as we try to navigate this. But first, before we do so, I think we have a phone caller on the line. I think it's Jerry from the North Side. I thought it was Northbrook. Sorry, I'm not reading well today. Jerry, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm puzzled. I think probably some other listeners are too. That. There seems to be, the basic problem seems to be there's an uncertainty what the effect of the law passed last December will be on these existing laws. But I thought that legislators normally don't do that. That is to say, there's a committee process that examines bills before they're reported out. And their report explains by consulting with the sponsors and by the legislative analysts at the legislature and so forth, what the effect is expected to be on any existing law and so forth. And has this been settled at the time this law was passed? And usually I understand they depend heavily on what's called the lobby, which apparently is advocates for the different people involved, agencies and groups and so forth. And did they get input from the lobby on this to point out why these things needed perhaps to be addressed because sometimes they will then have a clarifying paragraph in a proposed law.
Sure, sure.
And was this done, or was it refused to do by the sponsors, or what?
Yes. Jerry, thanks for your call. It's a good question, and it's when you go through and you see the legislative process, it's not like you see on TV sometimes. Mary Lou, do you want to address Jerry's call, and I'll take a shot at it. If do you have any comments for Jerry?
Sure, sure. I'll mention that that you know our office, we did when the civil union law was being considered, we did point out the potential these problems. We did point out that you know the law wasn't exactly clear as to whether, you know, what exemptions for religious entities were provided. There is a section in the law that refers to, you know, religious freedom, but it's not very clear. It's very broad and vague. So that's why there are these arguments from other groups like the ACLU, saying that we can't have these types of exemptions. So, you know, our office did point out, try and point out to the legislators that this is going to be a problem. And I'll also mention that when this was debated in the Senate, on the Senate floor, the sponsor of the bill was asked a question by another senator, you know, is this act not intended, is it the intent of this act to not prevent religious entities from being able to provide services as they have? And the sponsor, the Senate sponsor, indicated that it was not the intent to prevent religious groups from being able to provide services like foster care. Unfortunately, you know, that was the legislative intent stated, but that was not the actual language in the bill, so that is why things are unclear right now.
Why was it not? Sometimes the lobby will suggest, they have friends, I assume, in the legislature, that will suggest clarifying if there's a problem with a law that they normally, I thought, don't like to pass unclear laws.
Yeah, they don't like it, but they do it. Yeah, I'm laughing because we experience that all the time, Jerry. You know, we try to get them to clarify just what you're talking about, and unfortunately, I think what, as Mary Lou's indicated, is our efforts were unsuccessful, and so we're left with this vague vague law now, and that's why we have the courts to determine and arbitrate these sort of situations. So go ahead.
So, I mean, it's the members of the committee that the bill was referred to that are more or less, you might say, at fault for the, who are those members primarily? I assume that they were solicited to provide clear language, and you mean they just simply decided or told somebody, the lobby, I guess, or the, that they were not going to do so. Is that right?
In a nutshell, yes, that's correct.
Well, who were the main ones that were solicited to provide clear language and that decided it was better to leave it unclear? Can you name who?
Yeah, sure. The two committees that the bill went through, on the House side, it was the Children and Youth Committee. And on the Senate side, Mary Lou, did that go through public health? I think it went through public health.
I think so. Yes. Yes, I think that was the committee.
Sure. Off the top of my head, I don't know all of them. I'm not in front of a computer right now. But the people on that committee, the chairman, and this is the way it works, Jerry, is the chairman of the committee in the House is also was also the main sponsor. His name is Greg Harris, and he's an openly gay member of the General Assembly. And so the way it works in Springfield is that they put these bills in committees that they, if the leadership wants it to pass, they'll assign it to those committees. So I don't want to say you're dealing with a stacked deck, but you're dealing with a stacked deck.
Well, the committee's does its actions by majority. And who else? Where there were people, I suppose, that were asked directly whether this is unclear or clear enough. And the people on the committee felt it was sufficiently clear, or they recognized it was not clear. Then most of them are lawyers by trade, are they not?
No, most of them are not lawyers. Would say a high percentage are. And this is where you get into politics trumps policy. And I think it's worth noting at this point in time that the people that passed this bill, Jerry, are were members of the prior General Assembly. Mm-hmm. They were acting after the election in November of 2010. So 25% of the people who voted for this are no longer in the General Assembly.
And 75% are.
Correct. And so when we have brought these concerns to them, I would say that the leadership's desire to address our objections have not been successful.
Well, as to the other 75% of the people who voted for, you mean they were understand that there was unclarity in the language and that they voted for the
correct.
Bill as
correct.
Well, who exactly was primarily who would be the most likely person to provide leadership to get clarity into that, and who did not? Could you name someone?
Well, I think the short answer is the entire General Assembly. You know, all of them is the short answer.
Well, quite a few did not, of course, vote for
very
it.
Close. Correct. The vote was very close. Mary Lou, if you want, perhaps the way to address this is we could just send to Jerry or post it somewhere the members that voted for the bill and the members that voted against it. And we could either email that to you, Jerry, or send it to you. And you
well,
can see
because
who they
I don't
are.
Think I'm the only person that wonders about this.
Sure. I mean, it's posted. And the short answer is all those people who voted for Senate Bill 1716, that was the number, correct, Mary Lou?
Yes, that's
yeah.
right.
Were the people who I would say are responsible.
And the committee's report explained that there was uncertainty as to its effect on existing laws, or did the committee's report not explain that?
They don't explain it.
Well,
they,
that isn't it the job. Whose job is it to get that into the committee's report?
Well, it's each individual's obligation to understand what they're voting for.
Oh, yeah.
And this is information all that had been communicated to members of the General Assembly, not only by us, but by many other groups as well. And, you know, in a nutshell, I would say that the information was just, it was not taken into account. It didn't change the outcome.
Well, the report, what I'm saying is that the committee's report was adopted by a majority of the committee.
They don't report. They don't do a report. It's just
they
a
don't.
Vote. No, there's no written report. It's a group. It's a like seven people on a committee, whatever the number is, and they just vote. They vote yes or no, and then that recommendation that the bill moved is debated by the full House or the full Senate. So there's no report.
And so the committee, so the people, you have also on your website the committee people that voted in favor of the. Bill, is that it?
Correct. We can post that for you.
Oh, would you please?
Sure. Absolutely. Mary Lou can do that. Give her a couple hours because I think she can't do it now. But we can do that, you know, by noon, I would say.
Well, it might okay. be a good idea to do that on bills, in fact. But thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Jerry. And I know that was a long explanation, but I tried my best. It's kind of hard to, a situation to explain. But thank you for your call and
you
for your
much.
Interest and your inquiry. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to be back with the second half of the show here. We're going to continue talking about this topic, but we want to talk about some other topics as well, including the state budget and the DREAM Act and other topics as well. I believe we're going to be talking to Joyce DiRiga also for a couple minutes here when we come back from the commercials. So don't go away. This is Bob Gilligan, and the phone number is 312-255-8408.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and we are honored to have with us on the line, in this dramatic music that we're playing in the background, the editor of the Catholic New World, Joyce DiRiga. Joyce, are you with us?
Yeah. Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. Now, I understand that the New World is coming out soon, and maybe give us an overview of some of the stories that we'll be reading in the upcoming edition.
I'm going to go backtrack a little bit. We're right in the middle of our cycle. So we just came out with the past issue, we have a story that touches on what you're talking about. We have talked to the area hospitals and how the Civil Unions Bill is going to affect them and how they've been.
Interesting.
Yeah, through the Illinois Catholic Health Association recommended to the Catholic hospitals. Did you talk about this morning? I only picked.
Not yet. Not yet. No.
About the employee plus one benefits package that they adopt that would cover anybody who lives in the house, not just they wouldn't have to identify whether it was a spouse or whatever. And then we've got, this is our big priest jubilarian issue. We do two jubilarian issues a year, which is archdiocesan priests, and then we go to religious and women and men who've celebrated their jubilees. Mm-hmm. So we've got 27 men from the Archdiocese celebrating 25 and 50. We only do 25 and 50 or 75 because there's so many priests that, you know. Mm-hmm. We also have an interview with the Cardinal. He's got a new book out that addresses many of the topics that you guys work with on a daily basis about how God can address the challenges in our lives in areas of law, in areas of bioethics, not just morality, but morality factors into everything, politics, globalization, so, you know, real heavy book from Cardinal.
Joyce, you had a feature on a number of the seminarians that were just
mm-hmm.
ordained, was that this week?
This was last weekend, Saturday,
yeah. Correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You know, it's a small world. I was looking through the list, and there's a gentleman in there, one of the younger men, who I actually coached basketball with years
really?
Ago. Yes. So you never know, you know.
Nah.
I'm thinking I had something to do with it through my expert basketball
well,
coaching.
Absolutely, sure. Your witness, I'm sure, converted
yes.
him. And
leading those second graders was a tough tour, and he was a good referee. So see, he made it all the way through. I was very pleased to see that. I know we had talked about it a couple of times. I lost contact with them, but now I'm able to renew my contact with them through your story.
Good. Well, then we have our profiles of the seminarians where we
yes.
talk to all of them, and then in this next coming issue, we'll have coverage of the ordination, and we're going to do an accompanying story of talking to parents and how the role the parents play in developing the vocation and fostering the vocation. So we're looking forward to that. Plus, this coming issue, we're doing our summer guide. This is our third summer guide, and we went out and asked all the parishes and schools and whatever to give us what you're doing in the summer, whether it's festivals or special things that people can kind of just pull this guide out and hold on to it. And if they want to do something Catholic and usually free or cheap with their family, you know, this is a good comprehensive list. And then the one of the stories that will accompany that is, you know, we have three basilicas in the Archdiocese, which mm-hmm. is unusual, you know. And what is a basilica, and why do we have three? And that they're just architectural gems. There's lots of relics. There's lots of just beautiful things. If people haven't visited the basilicas, this is a good time in summer to take a look. And
it's interesting you're doing a piece about the summer, because I think oftentimes, you know, we associate this the summertime with, well, you know, school's closed and not much goes on. But actually, things do happen over the summertime, mm-hmm. and not only schools and the parishes. And it's good that that guide is there just to – I'm sure people wonder from time to time. And I think that you're doing that is probably a good reminder and a service to people who are curious.
Good. It answers my question, too, because I'm not from Chicago originally,
right.
You know, and – I was astonished that we have three, you know.
Right. And just briefly, what is the definition of basilica? I think I know, but I don't want to say, because I think I might be wrong.
Well, the kind of a layman's term is it's a special church of distinction.
Right.
It might be a shrine, you know, a shrine or somewhere that particular devotion has grown around, you know. Right. And then it's given that distinction from the Holy See.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. That was the definition that I knew that of. Joyce, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm sure that you're going to be busy in these upcoming summer months. I was just reminded that, Memorial Day is this upcoming weekend, and I know
yes.
there's stuff going on at the cemeteries.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So there's plenty of information coming out of the Memorial Day holiday, and we're going to be wrapping up our legislative agenda here in Springfield, hopefully within the next 7 days. And this topic we're talking about with adoption and foster care, I know we have not heard the end of this, and I would strongly urge people to watch the news wires for this upcoming week, because it could be an interesting week as we proceed
okay.
ahead, not only with the healthcare plans, but the future of foster care and Catholic Charities is also in question. Joyce, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And I guess,
you're welcome.
Oh, back to the theme music. Excellent. Joyce, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Bye, Bob.
Great. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to see if we can find Mary Lou Garvaccio, who we understand we may have lost temporarily. I'm sure the theme music may have had something to do with her departure, but if we can cut the theme music, maybe we can get her back on the line. This is Bob Gilligan. It is now 9:41 a.m., and we're going to be talking about more important public policy topics when we come back. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We are back on the air here, coming up at 9:44 a.m., and thanks for continuing to listen to our program. And I'll give the phone number again. It's 312-255-8408. Mary Lou, I'm sorry. I think we temporarily lost you there, but I think you're back with us now, correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
Sorry
and
about that.
The theory here is that either you heard that inspirational music and decided to burst out and go for a quick run, or you had to go post that information that Jerry had inquired right. on, or both, because the music has got Brian Brock doing push-ups here in the studio. It's amazing. It's really inspired him. Mary Lou, we were talking a little bit about the impact of the foster care and the adoption issue, the civil unions bill. But Joyce alluded to this in her comments about the Illinois Catholic Healthcare Association and what they're doing on their healthcare plans. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of the work that's been done on for the healthcare plans on the diocesan side and for the school employees?
Sure. When the civil unions law passed, we obviously knew we had to take a look at how that would impact the diocese as employers, and we took a look at current employment policy and benefits and tried to figure out what the impact would be and where to go from there. So we've had discussions with the diocese, with the bishops, with the human resources departments mm-hmm. and offices, just to try and come up with what the next step is. And I'm not sure, do we want to talk about, where we're going from here? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I know it's still in development, but in general terms, I think we're free to say what we're anticipating.
Sure. What we're anticipating is that we are, in terms of specifically the health benefits, is that the diocese, they're not going to be making any changes to the way they administrate their health plans or what's going to be covered in their health plans. I think our belief, we alluded to this before, that we have this religious mm-hmm. belief that mm-hmm. to be protected, and as employers, it's the same kind of situation. So I think what we're going to do is just hold the line and keep health benefits the way they are, not make any changes, and just provide coverage to spouses and children.
And I think this is a topic across the nation that's been discussed. I know that Catholic Charities in the District of Columbia changed its employment policies when the district passed legislation on same-sex marriage. And I know in some other states they've incorporated various changes to the policies. They range from grandfathering in existing employees, health care packages to remain the same, to changing them for prospective employees, including just to ensure or provide benefits to the employee and not a spouse, employees' dependents and not a spouse. That's one option. And the other option is, as Joyce indicated, that it appears that the hospitals are going to be going down, which is to provide a benefits package to an individual and also offer to one other individual, non-identified. So the range of options are numerous. The law gets very complicated with regard to if you fall under the federal law or state law, depending on the type of employment policy that you have and the plan you have. So all that is going to be subject, I'm sure, for many conversations and discussions in the way in the future. And I think what is Jerry was alluding to, I think the challenge for us is trying to figure out the interpretation of the law, which is not easy. It's not crystal clear in terms of what the options are for religious employers and what they are not. And I think, unfortunately, what you see, I'm sure we're going to see this a little bit, is that the courts being used to challenge whatever interpretation is made.
Right, exactly. I think, as we mentioned with the foster care issue, I think even in this area with employment, as you mentioned, it's something that's going to probably end up being going to court in some fashion to be addressed, because, again, it's not very clear what the law will say. This whole area is so new to the law, civil unions and same-sex marriage, that those issues are new to the law. So there's going to be a lot of things that need to be decided in the courts.
The entanglement of church and state is really what this is going to be all about at some point in time. We're going to take one final break here, and what we want to do is make a transition from this topic in the last 10 minutes of the show. We want to mention a little bit about the state budget and the conclusion of the legislative session briefly, maybe talk a little bit about the remap, but we also want to talk about the DREAM Act. I know that's something that Mary Lou has been working on, and we want to inform our listeners about that as well. This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Mary Lou Garvaccio of the Catholic Conference. It's 9:49 a.m. here in Chicago. If you want to join our conversation in the next 10 minutes, briefly, it's 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan talking with Mary Lou Garvaccio of the Catholic Conference staff, a little bit about what's going on in Springfield. Mary Lou, we have about 7 minutes to go in the program. Let's talk about the DREAM Act. I know this is something you've been working on. Not the federal DREAM Act, the state DREAM Act.
Right. It's the so-called Illinois DREAM Act. It's Senate Bill 2185, and it's a bill that's been moving through the process this spring. It has passed the Senate already, and it's currently in the House, and hopefully will be considered sometime this week. Basically, what the state version of the DREAM Act here in Illinois does is that it does a couple things, and it's focused on providing opportunities for higher education for immigrant youth who do not have legal status. Some of the things it does is that it creates a process where a privately funded scholarship fund can be created and administered by a state commission, but it would be funded just by private dollars, mm-hmm. and those scholarships could go to these students to help them go to college. It would also open up the Illinois college savings plans and some of the prepaid tuition plans that are available in the state to immigrant the youth families, so they can invest their money into these programs to help their children go to college. And it would also, I think one of the other things it does is provide opportunities for high school admission counselors and college guidance, college or high school guidance counselors and college admissions officers to learn more about opportunities for immigrant students to attend college. So it's focused mainly on providing opportunities, providing better access for these students to go to college.
And these are generally students that have been brought here at a very young age who are technically undocumented and have lived their whole lives here, and they're at the point in time of their lives where they probably have succeeded in school, and what we're looking for is a chance to provide them an opportunity. It's generally a college degree, correct?
Yes, that's what I believe it is. It's for to go to college, to get
right.
a college degree. It's for students who are graduating high school.
Right, and it's
college,
important
right.
to point out, too, that this is not public money that's going to afford these
right.
scholarships. This is private money that would go to, it's sort of on the lines of the Catholic Big Shoulders program, uh-huh. whereas individuals could donate money to a scholarship fund, and it would offset the costs of an undocumented individual attending higher education, and with the hopes of them becoming part of the American dream and petitioning for citizenship at some point in time in the future.
Right, yeah. absolutely.
These are kids generally, and we've met a few of them, they are generally very high achievers and successful people. And as part of our call to community, I think it's important that we recognize their plight in terms of what it's like to deal with a system that doesn't afford them opportunities because of their status, to be fair.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But also, one could argue that they have done very well here. And if private individuals want to fund that, well, we should perhaps provide them the opportunity to do so, and that's what the purpose of that bill is about. It passed the Senate fairly overwhelmingly, right? I think there were only 11 votes?
Yes. Okay. I believe it was only about 11 of the, 59 senators that did not vote for it. And it was, it was voted for by both Democrats and Republicans
sure,
in the Senate.
Sure. And that it seems like a bipartisan bill, and the name is a little, I think, conjures up political debates from November.
Right.
But this is not that controversial of a piece of legislation.
No, not at all. Like we've discussed, it's just to provide educational opportunities for these students who have, I think you had mentioned, who were brought here to mm-hmm. our state, to America, by their parents, when they were very young.
Yep. And give that number of the bill one more time.
It's Senate Bill 2185.
2185, and that'll probably be voted on sometime this week, we anticipate.
That's our understanding.
Yep.
As you mentioned, the session is coming up, so we're hoping this bill will get through to set up the system, scholarship, and et cetera, for these students.
We're going to run out of time here. We have about less than 3 minutes. But in essence, so we're in the last, 7 days? Is that what I think we're projected to adjourn on the 31st? That's the date,
right.
correct? And today's, the 22nd, 23rd or something? And so a week from now, they'll be adjourning, and let's hope they're not in over Memorial Day.
Right.
Yeah. That could very well happen. And the map has come out. We alluded to that earlier. We didn't get time to really talk about that, and perhaps we'll just save that for a future show. We could go over that in detail in terms of what legislators are impacted, because the lines are all going to change based upon the demographics and the census that came out a couple months ago. And so we're going to see a new map. And obviously that will bode well for probably incumbents, and also for those people who the Democrats will clearly have an advantage, because they're drawing the lines of the map, because they're the majority party, the governor's office, as well as the majority in the House and Senate. So it's going to be very hard for the Republicans to manage under the new map. But we've seen minority parties do well in the past, and so who's to say? A lot of this is contingent upon the agenda and how individuals have voted. So the map is coming out. Well, the map is out. It'll be voted on this week. And obviously, the big issue is the budget, how that gets resolved. And when I left last week, it appeared that the Senate projections were considerably higher in terms of revenue being brought in than the House numbers. And I don't know if that's changed over the weekend, but I'm sure there'll be some negotiating at some point in time, hopefully in the next couple days, because they're going to have to resolve this fast. And for us, I think that means funding for primarily some social service programs, But I think the big thing on our agenda item with regard to the budget is the future of the textbook loan program. And in the Senate, they're funding that at about $15 million. Right now, the House has nothing in there. So we're urging people to call House members in particular and advocate that in the final budget negotiations, some money go in for the textbook loan program that had $42 million in it, but in the last 2 years received absolutely nothing. And these are monies that go to public and non-public schools to offset the cost of providing textbooks to students. It's something that our schools rely on, probably more so than the public schools, but the public school system also takes advantage of it. So with that said, I'm going to sign off. Mary Lou, thanks for staying with us the entire hour here today. And also thanks for all of you who listened and for those who called in. And this is Bob Gilligan signing off on this 23rd day of May. Please join us on the third Monday for the month of June. We'll be back on our Monday program with the conclusion of the legislative session and other topics of interest to people. Have a good day and a good week, everybody, and thanks for listening.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.